Hey, Russell Evans here from Planet Shakers. We're so glad that you're joining us today. I'm going to be speaking on harvest time. Get ready for your harvest. It's going to be amazing.
God spoke to me about this season being a season of growth. Everyone say growth. Growth is a responsibility of you. Harvest is a responsibility of God. So God wants to grow you, increase you, not just at Christmas time where you eat something and you grow. I'm talking about growing spiritually. I'm talking about growing in your personal development, growing in your life. It's a season of growth. Everyone say growth. It wants us to grow individually and corporately. I'm believing for the greatest growth season of Planet Shakers history, even in summertime. It's a growth season. And we talked about that last week, Genesis 8:22. As long as the earth exists, there will be seed time and harvest. And we talked about seed and how God gives us seed, but our responsibility is to make the soil good, to water the soil, put the sun of revelation in, and nurture this ability to grow. And G started with God, putting God first, and R started about receiving. O was, can't remember. Output, very good. W was, they're all looking up their notes on the front row. Work it. T was, tithe it. H was, Holy Spirit, honor it. Growth. But now we're going to talk about harvest. How many like harvest? Harvest is a good season, you know. Harvest is an exciting season. The growth part is good, but the harvest is awesome. And so I want to talk to you about harvest today. And Jesus was talking about harvest in John chapter 4, and he was talking about the harvest of souls, but the same principle applies to harvest in every part of your life. You have this same principle of what Jesus is talking about, the harvest in John chapter 4, is the same principle God's talking about harvest in every area of your life. So in John chapter 4, it says this, then Jesus explained, my nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me and finished his work. So Jesus got his nourishment not from his hobbies, not from his relationships, not from his finances, not from his career. He got his nourishment, his sustaining ability, the thing that grew him and made him grow, his nourishment come in doing the will of God. If every Christian got their nourishment from the will of God, we would change the world. He says, my nourishment is to do the will of God who sent me and from finishing his work. Let's be Christians who don't just start well, let's be Christians who finish well. Then it goes on and it says, you know the saying, 4 months between planting and harvest. But I say, wake up and look around. Everyone say, wake up and look around. See, God, the first principle you have here is harvesters are alert to the harvest. They're awake to it. They're looking for it. If you want a harvest, you got to look for it. He says, so wake up and look around. Then it goes on and says, the fields are already ripe for harvest. So here's the issue. The harvest is never the issue. Because Jesus then points out what the issue is. He says, the fields are already ripe for harvest. The harvesters are paid good wages. So it's good to be a harvester. You get looked after. It says this, and the fruit they harvest is people brought to eternal life. So he's talking about the harvest here is about people coming to know Christ. And it says, what joy awaits both the planter and the harvester alike. You know the saying, one plants and another harvests. And it's true. I sent you to harvest where you didn't plant and others had already done the work. And now you'll get to gather the harvest. So here's what I feel the Lord saying. We talked about a season of overflow that we need to increase our measure. The measure you give is the measure you receive. Press down, shaking together and running over, right? So measure, increase fruitfulness. Increase harvest.
So God's saying, because you've increased your measure, I'm going to give you an overflow. But here's the thing about God. He says, I'm so supernatural in nature and I'm so kingdom focused in nature. So what I'm going to do, where other people have planted for the kingdom, I'm going to allow you who haven't planted to harvest. So not only are you going to harvest what you've planted, but you're going to harvest what you haven't planted. That's a pretty good season. It's harvest time. Harvest, God wants to see a harvest in souls. He wants to see a harvest in your finances. He wants to see a harvest in your family. He wants to see a harvest in every part of your life. And the harvest is all about His kingdom. So here's a few points. Harvesters are alert to the harvest. I said that. The second point in this story is the harvest is ripe for the taking. Opportunity awakens harvesters. So if you and I live a life going, a harvest is coming my way, we'll be looking for the harvest and we won't miss the harvest. But if we're focused on us, myself, me, myself and Irene, well, all we'll see is Irene and myself and I. That's a movie, by the way, Me, Myself and Irene. But if your viewpoint is kingdom and the kingdom harvest, guess what you'll see is opportunity every day. Here's a harvest opportunity. It's not a work, I'm working today. No, you're harvesting today. Oh, I'm just chilling today. No, you're chilling and harvesting at the same time. See, if you look at it with a harvest mindset, you walk into harvesting. But if you don't have it, you won't receive it. The Bible says this, we have not because we ask not. In other words, because we don't have a harvest mindset, we don't ask for a harvest. So it's harvest time. Harvest is ripe for the taking. The third thing is harvesters are greatly rewarded. There's great reward when you are a harvester. There's a great reward in seeing people get saved. There's a great reward in releasing kingdom endeavors. There's a great reward in releasing and seeing the kingdom of God happen in your life. It's a great reward. I remember when I was 18 and I thought, I'm going to go and street witness, go on the streets in the city of Adelaide and witness. And it was cool. It was a lot of fun. It was some crazy people out there. But I remember one night I was talking to this guy. His name was Eugene, and he had just finished university. He got an engineering degree. He just got a job, and we're talking about life, and he says, look, I've got a degree. I did well, but there must be more to this. And so for 2.5 hours, Eugene and I went to a coffee shop, and that was quite easy to find in Adelaide because there's only one coffee shop open after 11:30. Because everyone falls asleep. Not like in Queensland, they close at 10. Queensland. Anyway, in Brisbane, it's hard to find a coffee shop. Anyway, that's a whole nother problem. I love Melbourne. It's open all the time. You can go anywhere and, you know, most places open. And so we stayed there till 2:30 in the morning. And I remember driving home and I thought, oh, I'm going to get in trouble because I had a curfew. And so I get home and my dad's, where you been? I said, Dad, I've been witnessing. It's the best excuse you can have to a father who loves Jesus. I was witnessing this guy and I led him to Christ and it was awesome. And what's he going to do? Well, you passed your curfew. I said, well, what's a curfew worth? A soul. So I get in my bed, 3 a.m., you know, because it only took me like everywhere, a long way in Adelaide's 30 minutes. Like, wow, that's a long drive. Wow. Here it's just like it's where we go to shops, 30 minutes. And so I'm there and I'm lying in bed and I just can't sleep. I'm like pumped. I'm like excited. I'm like, woo! And I'm go to sleep. And I'm just, and in my sleep, I wasn't sleeping, I was like just so excited that I had to get out of bed. And I lived downstairs in my parents' house, and they had this big room where we used to have urban life groups. And by the way, exciting thing's going to happen next year, but I'm not going to tell you what it is yet. You need to come next year. And don't just watch online, be in church next year. And so I'm there, and I go to the room, and there's a piano there, and I'm so excited. I just can't sit there. I'm just walking up and down praying, God, you're awesome, you're incredible. Now, leading up to this experience, prayer was hard for me. It was a discipline that I would do because I was told I needed to pray. But when I harvest, and I went looking for a harvest, my prayer life wasn't difficult. It was exciting. I was like, God, how can I not pray? How can I not talk to you? And I got on the piano and just began to worship. And I was like, and you haven't seen me worship on the piano, have you? We'll go a bit of old school here. And is this on, Mitch? Turn me up. I can't sing, but... Sing also, Lord, I come to know the weaknesses I see in me will be swept away. School there for you. And I was singing to 6 a.m. I was so full of joy because harvest time is joyful time. There's a reward at harvest time. And you see, harvesters are rewarded greatly. My prayer life didn't struggle. My worship didn't struggle. Why? Because I was harvest focused. Oh, I just want to grow. Now, I can't sing. Don't worry about it. But there was something exciting about my Christianity. And so many Christians lose their excitement because they forget about the harvest. They just get in the mode of doing, doing, doing instead of harvesting, harvesting, harvesting. Jesus came for a harvest. It's harvest time. Harvesters are rewarded greatly. If you're a harvester, you'll be rewarded. If you're a harvester, you say, I'm ready. The harvest is ripe. It's ready for the taking. This world is groaning for the manifestations of the sons and daughters of God. It's looking for people who will harvest. See, harvest is always kingdom in focus, and the results are eternal in their rewards. See, if your selfish focus
your result is, your reward is you. But if you're kingdom focused, harvest is about the kingdom of God. And if you're kingdom focused, you're a harvester. If you're a harvester, your eternal, your rewards are not only to, that moment, that joy that comes, but there's an eternal reward. And the Bible says that one day we'll all stand before God, and what we did for Him will be tested by fire, and what was of Him will remain, and what wasn't of Him will be burned up. And let me suggest to you, harvest that is about Him will remain. It's harvest time. The next point in this story is joy is both for the grower and the harvester. The one who planted the seed, the one who developed the seed, and the one who reaped the harvest from the seed. See, people ask me, they go, what's your greatest joy in being a leader of a church? Is it preaching in the big platforms and speaking to thousands and seeing a church grow like we've never seen before? Is it about the music? Is it about? No, I said, no. My greatest joy isn't about my fruitfulness. It's about seeing the Rudies of the world and seeing the Andys of the world and seeing those who we've sown, that we've sown for them to harvest. It's seeing the people that we've empowered and they've encountered God and we've sown and now they're harvesting. You know, Rudy preaching in the Philippines to tens of thousands of people to see a harvest. He didn't plant that seed, but he reaped a harvest from that seed. He had great joy in seeing a harvest. I had great joy in seeing the seed come to harvest. It's harvest time. Harvest is a joyful season. See, the Bible says the joy of the Lord is my strength. See, you want to have strength in your life, have joy in your life. You want to have joy, have a harvest season. Harvest season is a joyful season. I've never seen somebody harvest something and go, oh, that's a bad season. No, when you see a harvest, whether it's financially, you see a harvest, whether it's in your family, you see a harvest, whether it's in seeing people saved, it is a joyful season. It's a season of great joy because that's the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is a joy. The Bible says a joy unspeakable and full of glory. So joy is a part of the kingdom, and the kingdom joy comes in harvest. It's harvest time. It's time to harvest where you did not plant. I'm ready for this. I'm ready to reap to reap from what I'm sowing, but I also want to harvest from where I did not sow. There are people who have gone before us that have sowed seed that have yet to see the harvest. And we're here because we're part of their lineage. We're part of their family. We are of the kingdom of God. We have the same dad. And we are ready to receive from what they've sown because it's harvest time. And because I have a viewpoint of harvest. See, the issue isn't the harvest. The issue is the laborer. And so I'm going to be a laborer. I'm going to be somebody who works with God to see a harvest. I trust you're enjoying the sermon so far. I believe that you're going to harvest and reap in seasons where you've sown and also where you haven't sown. Listen to the rest of the sermon. But here is an amazing point. The purpose of harvest is to share. That's the purpose of harvest. It's to share. Your blessing isn't just for you. It's to share the blessing. Yeah. There's an awesome story, true story in Ruth, about Ruth. Ruth was a married into an Israeli family. She was not an Israelite, and her husband died, and her mother-in-law Naomi was going back to her own land. And Ruth said, I'm going to go where you go. And Naomi said, no, you go back to your people. And Ruth says, no, I'll go where you go, and your people will be my people. And so there was loss, there was nothing, they had nothing, and they went back to the land of Israel, and they came back to harvest time. And Naomi goes to Ruth, go and collect some leftovers from the people who are gathering up the harvest. So she went to
a place where a guy called Boaz, who is a picture of Jesus, because he's the kinsman redeemer, he was the one who would take somebody who was lost and join them into inheritance. It was a prophetic picture. But she went in there and she was taking the leftovers from people gathering the harvest, because the harvest is there to share. And Boaz notices her and he goes, "Who's this girl?" And they said, "Well, this is Ruth, the daughter of Naomi." And she had heard about Ruth, who had left her land to follow her mother-in-law. And he said, "Come and sit at my table and come and eat from my food and come and drink my wine." You see, he was the harvester, but his whole deal was, "I got to share with you." And there she is, and she's eating, and then she goes back to collecting, and he calls his workers over and he says, "Firstly, don't touch her. Leave her alone. Secondly, leave her more. Give her some extras. Deliberately shake a bit more out." So here's Ruth, and these people are harvesting for themselves and harvesting for their families and harvesting for their community. And as they're doing that, they have a kingdom mentality. They're shaking out what they've had for people who they're coming into contact with. And Ruth is gathering, and she comes home and Naomi's there, and Ruth's got so much. Naomi goes, "Where did you get so much?" She said, "I went to Boaz, and this is what's happened." And she kept going back to the field of Boaz, and eventually Boaz marries Ruth, and Jesus comes out of the lineage of Ruth and becomes a prophetic picture of how God takes us and he gives us the overflow so we can share in the harvest. And so then out of the seed of Ruth comes Jesus, and out of Jesus' seed comes us, and we are of the same lineage out of a harvest. See, if there was no harvest, there would be no collecting. If there was no harvest, no collecting, there would be no marriage, and there would be no destiny. The harvest is about sharing. People aren't attracted to drought, they're attracted to harvest. So God wants to bless you, bless your family, bless your finances, so that you can say, "Hey, look at me." No, so that people can get the share. The share. See, as freely as you've received, give. Growth is a place of development to receive. Harvest is a place of releasing what you've sown or what you've received. Share. That's why when you come to praise, it isn't about you. It's about Him. But as you praise, there are people who have come in here, maybe been bound in the week, maybe imprisoned to situation. And as you praise and as you come into agreement with God, you say, "Hey, I'm a sharer, so I'm going to create an atmosphere to share the goodness of God." Oh, when you go into your work, you're there to share, not just do your work. Harvest is about sharing. If there's no harvest, there's nothing to share. That's why God wants us to be harvesters. And he says, the issue ain't the harvest, people. The issue's the laborers. And if there's no laborers, there's no harvest shared. And all that happens is the fruit that's ready drops to the ground and has no place to be shared. Harvest is here. Harvest is now. Harvest is before you. Harvest is in you. Harvest has been planted by you, but harvest has been planted by others that's waiting to be received and shared. You ever been around those people that want to eat your meal all the time? You're there, "Can I have a little bit?" Most men like, "Nah, you just have your, I'll order your own meal." No, and then other people, "Can I eat some of yours?" I'm like, "Listen, I'll buy you another meal that you can eat that's exactly the same, but it's not as good if they don't taste from your plate. I don't know why. Something in the sharing." You ever been around those people that, "Well, let's order about 10 plates for each other. You have your little taste." But I don't want that. I want my own. That's what some Christians are like. You get your own plate, I'll have my own. But the kingdom is, here, you want some of mine? I'll have some of yours. That tastes good. Now I'm going to eat a different dish. See, this is what sharing does. I went out to dinner one time with Marcus Lamb, the head of the owner and founder of Daystar. And he's eaten, there's this restaurant called the Cheesecake Factory in America. And people think it's like the Cheesecake Shop here. No, it's got a menu about this big, right? And it's massive. And its food portions are huge. And at the end, you get a cheesecake. But everything else is there. Like, I had Cheesecake Factory just this week, and I had prawns. They're prawns, not shrimp. Prawns. You can have steak, you can have whatever. Whatever you need is there. And Marcus's favorite restaurant, one of them, is Cheesecake Factory, and he would get the same dish every time until he went out with me. And he saw that I ordered chicken teriyaki. And he goes, chicken teriyaki, what's that like? And I'm like, well, yeah, it's good. He's looking at it. And I know he's wanting the taste of it. I'm thinking, you got a television network. You can buy your own chicken teriyaki. So I'm like, would you like a taste? He's like, yes. I'm like, on page number 4, number 2 from the top. Would you like a taste? He goes, yes, that would be good. So I cut off a bit, get his own fork to put on his own plate. And he eats it. He's like, wow, I've been coming to this restaurant for so long and I've never eaten this. I'm getting this every time now. How I know it's true, because I watch him on Daystar and he goes, and I was on Daystar with him and he goes, you know, I've been going to the Cheesecake Factory forever. He tells the whole story. He goes, now I ordered chicken teriyaki. But he wouldn't taste it if I didn't share with him. He would never have ordered it if I didn't sit next to him and say, there's a taste that I've had that you should like. And now he orders off the table. Why? Because we shared. That's what kingdom's about, sharing. That's how the church is built, by sharing. Amen. Well, it's my time. No, it's we share time. Yeah. It's my finance. No, it's his finances. We share. Now, my duty is to steward what God has given me. But in stewarding, if there's no sharing, I'm actually not stewarding well. You ever seen those people who have share time? What do they call them? Share. Timeshare, that's it. Sorry, I'm dyslexic. No, I'm not really, but timeshare. They have a moment where they can share in what someone else has built. That's called harvest. What God has built and what God has, he gave the seed to build the thing. But he wants everyone to taste of the original seed that came from him, that people have grown so other people can taste. That's why the Bible says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. But if you don't share your menu, how are they going to taste his goodness? Share. This building is built because people shared. You know, and here's the thing. As a church, we're sharing all the time. I sit and look at our budgets and I go, we give to that ministry and give to that area and we give there and we give there. And if, you know, every time we start a campus, I'm like, you know, everything comes out of the city campus originally, right? So this was the original campus. And every time we start a campus, 200 to 300 people go to that campus because it's in their area. Now, from the city campus point of view, that means 200 and 300 people less. And also finances go to, and it costs money and everything gets funded out of really 80% of our, or 76% of the funds of the ministry comes out of the city campus to fund everything else. So when we plant campuses overseas, you know, South Africa, different places, it costs this campus and it costs our campuses because we're sharing. But that's the kingdom. Because if we just keep to ourselves, we'll just be this place. It will be large, but it'll be just one place of service after service in the city. But God wants to win the whole city, so He says, share. He wants to win the whole world, so He says, share. You know, Sam and the team are in South America right now. Now, when you have five campuses in Melbourne and you send some of the best people that you have on tour and you're blessing other churches and other nations, and they could be here in our local church every week and they could be in the campuses serving, that's a cost to our campuses. But God says the kingdom is about sharing. So that's why we plant campuses. That's why we tour. I would love just to stay home all the time. I hate traveling. People think it's glamorous. It ain't glamorous. It's not good for your health. It's not good for your diet because you're in different time zones. You know, I've been in so many time zones lately, I don't even know where I am. Where am I? Melbourne, I think so. In fact, so bad was this on the plane last night. I fell asleep. I took a sleeping tablet and I fell asleep. And I woke up and I said, did I eat dinner? Did I eat lunch? They said, yes. They started laughing. I go, really? Okay. I started thinking I had Alzheimer's or something. And then I said, oh, I think I left my phone fell under the seat. And so this waiter, host, he's pulling the seat apart and he's got his torch. No, it's not under there. Then I go up into the cabin, the overhead thing, and I look in my bag and there's my phone. So my brain's going, bleh. That's why sometimes when I speak, you go, what is he saying? Jet lag. That's what we blame. But it costs. But when you share, more people get blessed. Harvest is about sharing. Sharing your time, sharing your finances, sharing your passion, sharing your life, sharing your loves, sharing. You say, well, some people don't appreciate what I get shared. Welcome to being a pastor. This is first class every week. And some people just say, well, you know, yeah, well, blah, 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 blasé. But the truth is you're not doing it for the accolades of people. You're doing it because you want to be Christ-like and harvest and share His goodness.
Good.
Share time. So, gee, I'm sweating. Incredibly good looking. I turn... One of our production crew out there is nodding his head like this. Thank you. You're blind. Man, God bless you. Sharing. Harvest is about sharing. Who wants a harvest? 60%, 80% of the 10% that aren't, we'll give you a salvation article afterwards, you can get saved. Harvest time. It's harvest time. And see, God will not give you a harvest if you don't share it. If you keep it for yourself, you'll get moldy in your lunchbox. You're not called to be a swamp, you're called to be a river to share. So all over this room, you say, oh, I want a harvest. And God, I will share what you've given me to see your kingdom come. If that's you, why don't you stand to your feet? If you're watching online, you can stand to your feet. You say, I'm lying in bed. Well, get up! How dare you watch me lying in bed? You should be standing. Amen. Like,
that's good.
Don't worry, I've done the same. It's okay. Only kidding. I'm here to declare some things today. That it's growth and harvest time. You know, the challenge in harvest time is you get blessed and you get reliant on you. The challenge in harvest time is always to share. You say, God, I want to steward what you've given me, to share what you've given me. I know the harvest is ripe. Give me eyes that would have harvest. Let me wake up with a harvest mindset. Let me be the few that's got you called the laborers. I want to be, if that's you, would you lift your hands to heaven right here, right now? Father, right here, right now, our hands are raised, our hearts are open. This is harvest time. Lord, that's a prophetic word for our church, a time of reaping. Lord, we're going to continue to grow, but it's a time of reaping. And right now, we reap in salvation. We reap, God, we harvest blessing and favor and joy. And Lord, right now, we will promise to share what you've given us. We share joy, we share peace, we share our heart, we share our love, we share, even if we get taken for granted, even if people don't receive it, we will continue to share. And right now, I release a harvest on your church. These next 3 months, the greatest harvest we've ever known. The next 3 months, the greatest season of growth, individually and corporately, that we've ever known. I prophesy, I declare it, and we release it. Jesus, because you're good. You're good. I trust today has been a blessing to you. You're going to reap a harvest where you haven't sown, and also reap where you have sown. I believe an increase is coming your way. Why don't you connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, on Snapchat, whatever ways possible. Send us an email. We'd love to pray for you, believe with you. It's your greatest day ahead. God bless you.